Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us in 2018. We hope you had a wonderful, wonderful New Year's celebration and you're ready to jump into a successful year of love and communication. We want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every week. And I also want to note that if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, then you've missed it because it came out, I believe, yesterday or today. I think yesterday. And if you didn't get it, you can go on Facebook and see a copy of it, or you can go to our website, www.drpatallen.com, and sign up for it. Make sure you respond to the opt-in email so that you get your first issue. And it's all about New Year's and what we've got going on in the beginning of 2018. Very exciting stuff. Dr. Allen, you are live on the air.
Great, great. I feel great being alive on the air.
I think it's awesome. How was your New Year's?
It was wonderful. My daughter, Sue, who runs the business, did a wonderful family-oriented party, and it was extraordinary.
Awesome. That's amazing. I'm so glad to hear that. Know that she was looking forward to it, and so it's great to hear that it came off without a hitch.
Right on.
You know what, Dr. Allen? We already have calls coming in. Are you ready for calls?
Well, I think we're ready. Let's go for it.
All right. Let me tell our switchboard that we are ready. And he's going to get it set up for us right now. And here they come. Okay.
Hello.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Happy New Year. Do you have a question?
I just wanted to figure out how to get it on my radio just so I can listen.
It's www.latalkradio.com, channel 1, and that's where you're going to find Dr. Allen live. But since you're on the air with us, wouldn't you like to ask a question?
I would like to just say that it's been 19 years since I was in her classes in Century City, and she gave me direction at the time I was split from my husband, and we just recently celebrated 57 years.
Wow. Wow. That's really amazing.
Thank you for saying that.
It's Sandy Geisler, Pat. I don't know if you remember. There were seven of us.
Right. Good. Excellent. My job is to help others communicate.
You did a great job. And I've read your book, each and every one. And so I'm going to say goodbye and listen in.
Thank you so much, caller.
Good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Dr. Allen, that's pretty wonderful. You know, it's got to be very fulfilling when somebody's been following you and...
Hello?
Hi, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question.
All right.
Good.
Okay, so I have literally been listening to your podcast every day at the gym for about a year. I've read your book, and I overthink things, and a man has been dating me since August, exclusively since September. It seems like in the beginning I was all about it. And then ever since November, so about 3 months in, I put up this huge wall where half the time I want him and the other half I'm literally disgusted. And I'm just a little confused how to tell the difference between if it's not the right chemistry, if I'm a norepinephrine addict and I just can't deal with something that's good for me because he's a great man, or if I just am looking for this perfect person that doesn't exist.
That's right. That's what you're looking for. I want you to know that the ebb and flow of nature, chemistry, is 10 o'clock in the morning, you like him. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't like him. 4 o'clock, you're liking him again. 10 o'clock, you don't like him, and he doesn't know what's going on. The truth of the matter is he 51% valuable on the worst day? You must remember why you're with him, because especially women, young women, premenopausal women, our chemistry and our neurobiological makeup is such, we're coming and going all the time. Now, men do it more when they get older, but then they die sooner. So with that in mind, I hate to mention this, but you sound normal. When you don't like your husband or your kids or your mom and your dad, remember the reason you want to like them and love them, because they make funny jokes. It doesn't matter. My husband, my last husband, I had four of them. My last husband, well, you know, you got to practice. You're going to teach it. You got to learn it. Anyway, what I found was, on the days when I didn't like him, I'd say, why am I with him? And then I remembered. He came into the marriage with two Oriental antique rugs and two desks that I liked. And so I was not willing to take my artwork away from those desks and those two rugs. And so we all got along. Now, he died, and I've got the rugs, the desks, but I don't have him. But I didn't get rid of him. We were together 15 years. So I want you to understand, the movies and books and romances tell a story which is not scientific. Everybody goes through push and pull, up and down, like and don't like. But you've got to know what is the 1% that makes him or her valuable to you. Okay?
Yeah. It's so hot and cold.
Please.
What is it about him? He's kind,
yeah, what is
generous.
It about him? What?
He's kind, generous, attentive, intelligent, treats people well, but can't do anything to benefit him.
Therefore, would you raise your right hand? I promise. On my honor. To respect my husband.
Well, he's not my husband, but to respect the man
my
I'm
boyfriend.
Dating. Who is dating me.
The man
okay.
You're dating. The man.
Okay.
The man I'm dating, who's dating me.
The man who's dating me.
I promise to respect him.
Promise to respect
him. Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
A doctor. Or a lawyer.
First.
Furthermore. I promise. To keep my yang mouth shut.
I've totally heard this from you in my head already before even talking to you. But it's so hard.
I understand that. Because I'm rewiring your BROCA. B-R-O-C-A. The area of language. I am literally rewiring your BROCA. So that when you go into the ups and downs of reality, that your brain will be wired for rational negotiation. Got it?
Yeah. Well, you'll be talking to me more. I'm going to email Sue. I was already emailing her this week. There's more I'd like to talk to you, but what a pleasure to talk to you on the phone and on the radio. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay, thanks, bye. Caller. Bye-bye.
People
we have
really
to
believe romance novels and movies when the truth of the matter
forwarded
is
to an automatic voice message system.
Yeah, the hearts and flowers.
Hello.
Oh, we've got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
So I am a recovering avoidant. I am growing through that. I'm choosing to make myself available to men who feel
you
good to
you're
me.
You're a norepinephrine addict.
Yes, okay. I'm recovering
norepinephrine. You had too much pain under the age of 3, and you finally decided pleasure is scary and pain is normal. So whenever you find you're in a pleasurable situation, you'll sabotage it because you're afraid somebody's going to come and take it away, so you're going to throw it away before they get to do it.
That's I am a recovering norepinephrine addict. I am a recovering norepinephrine addict.
So you're withstanding the anxiety of the pleasure pain.
Correct. There is a gentleman who had invited me out. We went out once. I was very comfortable with him, mostly because I decided he didn't turn me. I decided he did. I didn't feel any attraction towards him, which I know is a good thing.
Right.
But I felt comfortable with him. Because I noticed that the, so anyway, he invited me out again. I met him and he started touching me, which was, it was a pleasant touch. And then he started just like, it felt like too much touching, like just too much. It was like, and I felt myself freeze and not just trying to be available, but instead what it was more about freezing. And I thought about calling him and saying, sweetheart, and doing a negotiation with him. But we are not in a committed monogamous relationship. So what I'm thinking is better is to let my body take care of myself instead of doing it with my words.
That's right. So that when step your body away a little bit or move your hand. You know?
Yes, yes. Instead of freezing,
when in doubt, shut your mouth.
When in doubt, unless I'm in a committed monogamous relationship with him, if I'm committed monogamous relationship, then we can negotiate these terms. But before
you
that,
you got it.
Okay. Lastly, I noticed that the men, of course, because I am a recovering norepinephrine addict, I go on a date with a guy and it feels good. And then they disappear because it's Los Angeles. They like to run. They like to, right? So
yes, but if you give them 8 weeks, a bunch of them come back.
That's just so funny. So there's this one guy. I had a lovely time with him. Lovely time. Sitting there, and I walked away from the date, and he texted me the next morning, and then he had helped me with this negotiation for a stove. And I realized it had been a couple of days, and I sent him, I said, I'm driving on my way down to the stove. I thought of you and realized I hadn't heard back from you for a couple of days. And I just want to say it was a pleasure going out with you. I don't sense it's going any further, and that's cool, but I really wanted to thank you for helping me with the stove. I'm going to get it, and they gave me a great deal. And he wrote me back, you know, soon later. Was like, oh, my God, what's not to like? I did this. And then he disappeared. Oh, my God.
Right.
And then I texted a bunch of people for the New Year's. He was one of the people that I texted. And he was like,
all right.
I've been so involved in my work. I'm so sorry. Da, da, da. Would you like to go out? I would like, could we go out or would you go out? It was not a will you. It was could, would, some one of those words. Would you go out with me again or something like that? And I said, sure. When did you have in mind? Said, I haven't
good,
heard
that's
back
good,
from
that's
you.
Good.
But I haven't heard back from him. No, it's only been 2 days. But I sense that he's, you know, I sense he's doing more of what he's doing, which is fine. I just noticed, can you tell me a little bit about that that what it scientifically means in our brains, or what's the diagnosis when you are available and they run off and I want them. Oh, is that the...
It's called, like you said, they have an avoidant problem. Mm-hmm. They don't.
So it's two avoidants falling for one another.
They run away. What?
Yeah. So it's like two avoidant, one anxious and an avoidant kind of in a process.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
But
okay.
If they've got
so
a therapist, if they've got a therapist that knows, like I am, it knows how to teach people to communicate, they can desensitize their phobic reactions and learn to be and speak normally, not avoidant, based on anxiety.
And that's on them, not me. That's their want.
You've already, you're recovering from being avoidant.
Totally I am. And I heard you say a sentence that you said to a dear friend of mine is go be in the situations that feel good. That feel good. Stay for what feels good.
That's right. Desensitize your pain addiction.
But the challenge of it, Pat, sometimes, quite honestly, is that dating in Los Angeles, being available to what feels good, have to really sit through it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, you have to set your boundaries. I didn't say you could be immoral, unethical, illegal.
Yeah.
I'm very clear about you do not have to do anything immoral, unethical, or illegal.
Uh-huh. And that's why the 3 dates. Okay, cool. That's all I got to know. Thank you so much.
Welcome, welcome.
Thanks, caller.
Okay. All
right,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we get that a lot, don't we, Dr. Allen, that having to sift through, I don't know if it's necessarily just Los Angeles. I think that it's, you know, pretty...
No, it's all over.
Yeah, it's pretty
it's
much
all
world.
Over.
But what, listen to that, Dr. Allen. We have another call. You are on fire tonight. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. So this is my question. It's about sex. And
good.
I have made the commitment to not have...
Wait a minute. Is it about affection?
Intercourse.
Or intercourse?
Intercourse. Thank you.
That's
so
not sex.
I have made...
That's making love
sex.
Or rape. Or, you know, it's either positive or negative. That's a biggie. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I'm hoping that you'll tell me that I am the exception to the rule. I have heard you speak about no intercourse until you've negotiated a long-term, monogamous, continuous, marriage-bound relationship. And I'm fine with
that. If you're a drunk or a drug addict, I'm afraid you won't do that, and you'll get yourself in a big, messy thing that could take you 2 years to get out of. But the truth of the matter is, intercourse is designed to make love, make babies, and build families. But when you use it as a sexual dopamine producer, you don't get to make love. You just get to be an animal and have sex. That isn't the way it's designed.
And that's not what I want.
What do you want?
Well, here's the thing, is I want to get married. And I practice abstinence while I'm dating, and I have the conversation, and either they are with it or they're not. That's never been a problem. The issue is that I was molested.
So what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that I was molested twice at a young age. And I've heard you in the past say to the women that have been molested to not have sex until engagement. So that's where I'm torn. If I should be waiting until engagement or commitment?
I got news for you. If you were molested before your first period, your brain has produced a lot more dopamine receptors that all want to be fed with dopamine from sex. And because of that, you lose your ability to set boundaries. So when I spot a girl that's been molested, I tell her, your nervous system is not capable of having casual sex. And because of that, I recommend that you have a commitment, monogamy, continuity, and longevity, but that you have a symbol, a ring, a promise ring, engagement ring. You don't need a wedding ring because that usually goes with two people that belong to the same religion following their same spiritual sexual programs. So if you have been prematurely sexualized, you can't not have casual sex. You ache for casual sex. But casual sex is not going to get you married.
Yeah. And see, when I was young, and I've realized that, and especially working with your tools and your work, I've been able to realize and recognize things like this. And I've done really well for absolutely stopping with casual sex over the past 4 years. But I noticed when I was a teenager and when I was in my early 20s, I used sex as a form of acceptance.
I understand that. As long as I have told you boundaries and you have chosen not to adhere to them, then I'm going to call you a permanent spinster.
So
you'll be married
a bunch of
times.
What's the significance of the symbolism? Why it's a symbolic gesture?
It tells both you and he that you're not having casual sex.
Okay.
Even
that if
symbol,
we have...
What?
Okay. So it's the symbol, because the problem that I was kind of tossing around is, can't I just negotiate a long-term marriage-bound relationship, making him my official boyfriend, without a promise ring and still be able to engage in sex with my now new committed boyfriend?
The only problem is that brain of yours, if it has too many dopamine receptors, is going to override and rationalize the casual sex. If there's a ring on your finger, a promise ring, an engagement ring, or a wedding ring, it will give your brain a decision to make. Do I take the ring off and just screw him? Do I leave it on and betray him? It's like you can't buy a house without going into escrow. And I say you can't have intercourse if you've been molested before your first period because you're too prone to casual sex. Casual. Sex for sex's sake. And that will get you law when it comes to a good man. Because if he can get it easy, he can get it easy.
Right. And I've found that out by when I do graciously show my boundaries to a man. Like I just have like a third date with a gentleman that's been dating me. And he tried to get in, and I explained to him that I was abstinent, that I didn't have casual sex. And we fooled around, but there was no intercourse. And you know what, Dr. Pat, afterwards, he was just, like, enamored by my respect for myself, by my boundary, and he was telling me how refreshing it was and how much he respected
you
the
wanna
fact
know
that
something?
I'm
telling women out there, I wish you would hear what I'm saying, that setting boundaries between affectionate sexuality, you know, and intercourse is the most aphrodisiac loving experience, because men love to love a good woman. But their penises want a woman physically. And that causes them confusion. You would be surprised how many men feel very guilty about using women as seminal receptacles.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, it felt really powerful. It really did.
It is powerful. Remember my last book? It's a man's world. They're in charge of junk, and we're in charge of oxygen.
I'm halfway through it.
What?
Yeah. I said I'm halfway through it.
Beautiful.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing on this planet. What?
Can you give me verbiage for how to ask for a promise ring? I mean, do I just say I'm not going to have intercourse with you?
You be the guy. No, you be the guy. I'll be the new you.
Okay. Come on. Why do you need? Why can't we just have sex? Why do you need a symbol?
I need a symbol to know that I want to make love. I'm not that interested in having sex. I can have sex by myself with my little mechanisms, but I don't want to risk falling in love with someone who's using me as a seminal receptacle.
Okay.
Have you got that?
And then, yeah. Okay.
The difference between making love and having sex. People that know how to make love periodically have passionate sex. People that are always hungry for sex rarely ever make love. They pretty soon are doing snuff sex. They're doing everything because they have to keep upping the anxiety and the excitement and the passion. Plegics can make love touching fingers.
Wow. Okay. All right. I got it. You have reprogrammed my broca, Dr. Pat, and I am an avid student. So I really,
do it.
Your work has really changed me as a woman, and I'm just so appreciative of what you're doing.
Good, 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 good. I'm not a moralist,
thank you.
I'm a therapist.
And thank God for that.
Thanks, caller.
All right, thank you,
God
Dr. Pat.
That.
Thank
That's
you,
right.
Kelly.
You bet. Excellent.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Allen, that was a really neat call, because it kind of just really let us see what's going on there with the
Hello?
Virtue. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for taking my call. I was calling about this man's been dating me, and we, you know, thanks to Pat Allen's work, or trying to follow it, we are in, like, or we agreed to like a exclusive committed relationship, and things, you know, have been going somewhat well. I called before about, he's like a real family man, and we haven't met each other's kids, which I know Pat recommends. And, and so he was, you know, busy a lot during the holidays and stuff. So it made it hard to see each other, and I was feeling kind of hurt and stuff about that. But, I don't know, things were going, you know, fairly well, but I don't know, just like for the last 2 days, well, 2 days ago, I don't know, he was having a hard time with his family. And then he texted me like, when are you off work? And then, I said one, but I have to do these errands, but I'd, you know, be happy to see you after five. So I don't know if that annoyed him. And then, oh, and he said, oh, I'm too busy after five, maybe tomorrow. And then I sort of jokingly did like crying emoji faces, but maybe that wasn't good. I don't know. But then he wrote, I'm not the one with errands. And then he seemed like really annoyed. And well, and since then, well, once I sent him like a photo of this brochure he wanted me to put up, and then he sent a smiley face, and then he hasn't texted me or called me for like 2 days.
He's got 8 weeks of rumination.
Oh my God.
I'm
so
telling
painful.
You.
We're supposed to go on a trip
eight
next
weeks
week.
Of ruminating. Thank you. This is how we're built.
Yeah, and I just don't say anything. Don't reach out, obviously. Don't text or call or do anything.
No,
did you say?
But when he does call, you rejoice. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good hearing from you.
Okay.
Don't do, well, it's about time.
Or I'm so hurt or any of that. Just like, hey, how are you? No, so, just be happy.
Be happy when he does call, but it takes 8 weeks for men to decide that they like you enough to give you a chance to be a girlfriend instead of a seminal receptacle.
Mm-hmm. No. So even though we're already like boyfriend, girlfriend, I just wait till he contacts me.
Did you say you have a trip planned with him next week?
Yeah, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, he like bought tickets for us to go to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
This trip, we've been like planning that for a while. So I don't know. Hopefully he'll say something before then. I'm not sure why he's just not contacting me, because usually, you know, says something every day, or how are you, good morning, all that stuff. So I don't know if I really
whatever
did
his reason is.
Mm-hmm.
You need him to find out whether he wants to make love or have sex.
Okay.
Every woman that's listening to this show knows the difference when a man is having sex with her. We can feel it in their touch.
Yeah.
And we know when they're making love to us.
Yeah. And that's how I had been feeling. You know, had been feeling good.
But maybe he doesn't want to fall in love. He may have to go through some debonding from some old fantasies of casual sex. So do not judge people when they're struggling with their morals, ethics, and legal aspects.
Yeah, he has said that. He said that was his goal. He's like in his 60s. He just wanted to sleep around and never get involved again. And he's like, and now I feel like I love you and I'm really scared. You know, you're just going to leave me or something. And he's like,
and
you
know
really
what?
Painful for him.
For a man to fall in love and become vulnerable to a woman, he's in extraordinary danger. The Takotsubo cardiomyopathy betrayal heart attack can happen if a man decides he's in love when he's really not.
Sorry, I will give you some water if I have some.
What you're listening to is the leftover cold that is swamping at least California.
Oh, no, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I had it for like a week, like at the end of it now. Oh, my gosh, it's so harsh. But, yeah, it's so hard
so
not
give
to
him 8 weeks.
Call him or send him a photo. I'm like, I must not do that. It's so hard not to. Oh, my gosh. Really hard.
I know that, sir. You're a girl. Girl. And you're not a guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now, do you think was it wrong of me to say I have errands after work, or is it better to just normally say, "Oh, I have to work till 5"?
That's the same thing. You're giving him data.
So that's okay. That's not
disrespectful. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. I didn't think it was too bad.
When a man loves you, he wants you happy. When a man wants to use you, he doesn't care whether you're happy.
Yeah. He always says he wants to make me happy. But, like, in between seeing each other is so painful somehow. I mean.
Yes, that's right. Because he's shifting from, he's going back and forth.
Yeah.
That's called rumination.
Yeah,
Think feel.
Yeah, because he had like 2 ex-wives, and he had one. He says he has one, you know, ex-girlfriend that he broke up with right when we got together, and she actually came by recently drunk, like with gifts for him. And he had to drive her home, like that.
Right, that right, kind of right.
Worried me.
Poor lady.
I know. She needs some Pat Allen.
You know what? Yeah. Getting to I Do is in the stores. Go to the website, drpatallen.com. My voice is going to vibrate through the universe for a million years.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I tell people about it. I'm also a therapist, and I share it with couples. They're always like amazed. Like, whoa.
Good.
Men
good,
really like
good.
That. That
Pass
talking,
it on.
The way you. Yeah, it's so amazing. And I encourage people to buy the Staying Married and Loving It, too. That is so great.
Yeah, Staying Married and Loving It.
And The Truth
It,
About
yeah.
Men. The Truth About Men will set you free.
Set
That's
you
really
free.
Good.
First, it'll piss you off.
Mm-hmm. And your video
you gotta
is so
read
great.
That it's a man's world and a woman's universe. That's the one that I'm summarizing. It's done.
Oh, yeah, I just got that. I haven't read it yet. I got to read that one.
That was done by a division of Hay House.
Balboa Press, right.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
Balboa Press.
So if he asks,
Hay House.
If he asks how I've been feeling, like if he calls, just say happy or say, I think
yes.
I heard you on
the
phone.
Be happy that he's calling. Be happy.
Yay. Yeah, that's one of my problems is to be happy and not be a norepinephrine
yes.
addict.
That's
I
right.
I make up all these
That's
terrible
right.
stories in my mind, like, oh, this, that, you know. It's like I've got to focus on happiness.
Remember, norepinephrine in England is called noradrenaline. Nor is no. Epinephrine is. We used to sell epinephrine in sports stores, you know, for revving up the body, till we saw it blew our hearts to bits.
Oh my gosh. So what when, because I know you often say to express your feelings and then ask what they think. So,
yes.
But in these situations where I'm feeling, you know, insecure and nutty and stuff, like you don't share those kind of feelings?
No, not unless you're in a committed relationship and you've made an appointment for a session of negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Before
Maybe
you're in
like,
a committed relationship, before that, you can't negotiate because he hasn't offered you a deal.
Yeah. Well, we did say we're in a committed relationship.
You're in a committed, you're in a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is it marriage bound or is it mating bound? What's the goal?
I think marriage. I mean, I would like to do that. And he has sort of...
Wait a minute. You think...
talked about it.
You haven't said... You haven't said, I do not want to have casual sex. I want to be married by the end of 2018 or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't said that. I have said, I don't want to have casual sex,
right.
But I haven't said like a date of marriage.
Okay.
Or I said I do want to be married, but not a date.
Well, a date would be nice so that you know you said it.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, at first I wasn't sure if I wanted to be married because I was divorced and didn't really enjoy that process. But now I feel like I do want to be married again.
Did you build well that time?
With the marriage and the old marriage?
Yeah, with the marriage, did you build well?
I guess, I mean, we did, you know, build a business, we owned a house, we had three kids, but we didn't get along at all.
Then you did a good business marriage.
Yeah, it was more like friends and business. But it was kind
Why
of abusive.
Did it fall
too,
apart?
So.
Why did it fall apart?
Well, even when we met, we never really got along. I don't know why we got married, but we were always
bickering. You know why we got married?
Didn't like each other.
Because your bodies liked each other.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't have
you
chemistry.
Had chemistry, but you didn't negotiate compatibility, and you weren't going to the same place. What it sounds like. You wanted to have an affair maybe 3 years and then say goodbye.
Yeah, we're more like brother and sister who didn't really like each other but had kids. It was very strange.
Yeah. I like Margaret Mead's idea. She said, get married for a couple of years as a practice. Margaret Mead, the anthropologist. And and that made sense to me. So I'm into, don't forget, June 23rd of 2017 in New York Times newspaper, there's an article, So You're in Love, Sign on the Dotted Line. That's the closest thing to what I do. And there it is.
Wow, what was the article?
June 23rd, New York Times newspaper.
Like it was promoting marriage? Is that what it was talking about? I didn't understand.
They were not talking about, they were doing negotiating time, space, money, and play.
Oh, okay. How to do
Somebody
that?
Somebody got impacted by my work and wrote an article for the newspaper.
So, like, if the guy calls and eventually, like, things are going better, should I make an appointment with him to discuss this sort of communication in between seeing each other that I'm, you know, feeling uncomfortable or something with the communication?
When you get tired of having sex with no engagement, do you want to get legally married?
Yes.
Well, how long are you going to be in escrow? How long have you dated him?
Dating since, like, the end of August. And then, like,
so
we maybe got
how
committed,
long?
Like, in October or something.
About 5.5 months.
All right. Are you going to sometime before the end of a year say, I'm tired of dating. I want to build. You want to build?
Yeah, I could do that.
When do you plan to stop dating him?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, because I only have, this is like my first time getting a committed relationship. Now I don't know what to do.
I suggest that you do it before a year. Don't go too much longer than a year. That's a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't want to waste my pulchritude, like you said.
That's right. That's right.
I know.
So you're coming down to the second half of the first year. So anytime you're ready, you say to him, you know what? I've so enjoyed the 9 months, 10 months, 11, 12 months we've been dating, but I don't want to date anymore. I want to build. So are you ready to start negotiating where we're going with this relationship?
Oh, great. I like that. And do I ask for an appointment too before saying that?
It's chapter 14 in the book, Getting to I Do.
Okay. And do I ask him for an appointment before that, before I say something like that?
You have to ask him for, you always have to ask him an appointment.
Okay.
But what
I
want
to talk to you about something.
What
do I just
say
I'd like to talk to you?
No, it's called, I've so enjoyed dating you these past 11 months, but I'm not getting more comfortable. I would be much more comfortable if we talked about how we can build a relationship leading to marriage and getting engaged.
Yeah, that'd be great. I just meant before
if
I say that, I ask him for an appointment.
She'd like you to tell her how to ask for an appointment, Dr. Allen.
What you say to him is, I've so enjoyed dating you for these past 9, 10, 11, 12 months, but I'm done dating. I'm into negotiating a deal leading to marriage in the next 6 months, no longer than a year. Are you interested in negotiating a marriage-bound relationship or not? Yes or no?
Okay.
But before she gets to that point, Dr. Allen, before she gets to that point, she would say to him, honey, there's something I would like to talk to you about. She would like you to tell her how to ask for the appointment.
No, I already said that. I told her to say, I've enjoyed dating you, but I'm not
just
going
go
to be
right
comfortable
into that
any
without
longer.
The appointment. Just go right into that out of the blue.
Well,
or
that is
I
not right into that. What that is what you're saying to him is, I've enjoyed dating you, but I am now ready to negotiate a going towards marriage relationship. Are you ready to negotiate? If he says, no, I don't want it. Okay, I'm willing to date you plus other people, but I want to be married, and therefore no more intercourse.
Okay. That's great. I'm going to have to write down the date of this radio show so I can replay this. Very helpful.
Yeah, it'll be up shortly after that for download.
Marriage is not a man's major design. If men had their way, marriage would not be necessary. Marriage is for women and children. But ultimately, men benefit the most in old age when they have a family that keeps them alive with love and cherishing and respect.
Yeah, so important. That really helps me so much. I really appreciate that.
Good.
Thanks so much, caller.
Thank you, guys. Have a happy New Year.
Good luck.
Happy New Year.
Good luck.
Okay, well, we're out of time, and I want to remind everybody that Dr. Allen does private appointments. She does them via the phone, and she also has office time, but our focus really is on those phone appointments. She does all kinds of appointments, and you can contact Sue at info@drpatallen.com and set up an appointment that way. And also, one of the greatest things she's doing right now is the hour-long appointment for Life Scripts. If you don't get to go to the classes in person, that's okay, because you can do the Life Script with Dr. Allen over the phone, and it's wonderful. It's so amazing and revealing. In this new year, when we are all trying to be the best we can be, I highly recommend you do that. Please visit our website, www.drpatallen.com. And our other website is thewantistore.com. There you can find out about our upcoming seminars and all of our products, including Dr. Allen's new book, that's been published through Balboa Press, and all of our other books and wonderful DVDs and things like that. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we run away tonight?
My favorite statement, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Exactly. Good night, everyone. Happy New Year.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.